Good morning. How is everyone? Good. So this message has already had a lot of prayer over it, but I don't see any reason not to set up another one. So if you all pray with me. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity and for these wonderful people. I just pray that you would be on our hearts and help us to accept whatever it is you're sending through this message. And of course, I pray that you be the one sending the message and not me. In your name, amen. So, fair warning, I felt very convicted putting this message together. So, you might experience that too. So we're talking about accountability today. And this has always been something that's been very important to me, but I've discovered that I've laxed on this quite a bit. And so I'm glad that I'm doing this because it's a reminder for me and then a reminder for you or new information for you, depending on where you're coming from. There is a difference between biblical accountability and just accountability in general. We can ask for accountability for pretty much anything, but when it's biblical, it looks a little different. One of the sources I was looking at said, biblical accountability begins with taking responsibility for one's own actions and making a conscious choice of allowing God and others to help in accomplishing what's right. So we are constantly, as believers, fighting spiritual battles. They can be big, they can be little, but Satan is always trying to bring us down through other people, circumstances, our own flesh, whatever it happens to be. And when you're in a battle, you want to get as much help as you possibly can. One of those ways is through having somebody help you with accountability. I think of it, so if we're talking about Christian growth and how we're going to become stronger in Christ and grow closer to Him, if we're thinking of as growth, I feel like accountability is the vessel to carry the food from Christ that we need in order to grow. I can honestly say that, and I'll talk more about this later, but the times that I experience the most growth or the strongest growth are when I'm in some kind of purposeful accountability relationship. So I also want you to know that there are different levels and intensities of accountability. There's the more surface kind of short-term things where if I ask my mom, hey, I need to get up earlier, can you make sure that I'm up by whatever time? Because she's always up before me. That's more of that surface level short-term kind of thing. And you can get that from anybody. That's not necessarily biblical, it's just accountability in general. Or if you have a spending habit that you want to change, you might tell one of your friends, hey, can you make sure that I don't spend this money on this thing this week or whatever. For me, sometimes I go to trivia with my friends, and sometimes I want to behave as far as what I eat, and sometimes I don't. And so I'll let them know ahead of time, hey, make sure I don't order fried stuff tonight. And they're really good about reminding me about that. But there's also the deeper, more long-term kind of accountability. And that's where we are working toward being a better Christ follower, living more like Him, providing more discipleship, all the chairs that we talk about all the time, that we're moving forward in those chairs. So there are also many layers in between those. So I put it on a continuum on the slide because there's all kinds of things in between those two extremes. And again, I'm not specifying accountability from the Bible yet. Right now, I'm just talking about general accountability. It becomes biblical when, of course, we are putting Christ in the center of that. When we are saying, this is what I want to accomplish, the goal that I want to reach is to be more like Christ, and so I'm going to do these things to help make that happen. So I also think some people think there's a lot of overlap with discipleship. I don't necessarily think that, and this is why. To me, and this is just me, this isn't necessarily the Bible or whatever, it's me. Discipleship is about, if I'm discipling somebody, it's because I am further along in my relationship with Christ. I'm a little closer to Him than the person I'm discipling, and I'm helping to bring them to where I am and both of us to go further, right? So it's kind of a not quite equal place in that. But for accountability, I feel like the people need to be on the same page, specifically about the one I'm talking about, and I'll make that a little clearer. One of the hard things about accountability is that we don't like to be held accountable. we don't want someone to say, hey, the thing that you just did, that was wrong, and you know it was wrong, and you know you shouldn't do it, and I'm hoping and praying that you make better choices going forward. None of us like to feel conviction. It's not a fun feeling because we know that means we need to change something, and of course we don't like to change. So it makes things harder, but that hurt or that discomfort, that's only at first. You can feel like your pride is wounded when you're told that you've done something you shouldn't be doing. I know that's how I feel when that happens, but those are things that need to happen in order for you to see this is an area that I need to work on, an area that I need to make better choices in so I can become closer to Christ, because of course that's always the goal. However, it should never be about making you heaping on guilt to yourself or to the person that you're in the relationship with. Guilt doesn't help us in any way. I feel like, and I think Tom's talked about this before, that guilt is, especially if it's long-term, is something that Satan uses to keep us from feeling like we can grow closer to Christ. I did this thing, it's awful. Because I did this thing, God doesn't want me to be anywhere close to him because I have this terrible thing that I did. That's never his intention. Conviction, yes. Guilt, no. And so this is not something that you're going to be wallowing in guilt. That's not, because ultimately, it should be about bringing us closer to Christ. It should be about helping us grow. It should be about helping us be a better person, but you know what I mean, more like Christ. I mean, that's really our standard, as opposed to what the world says is a good person. Like I said before, there are lots of kinds of accountability and lots of accountability relationships. Today, I'm only talking about a very, very specific kind of accountability. You can have accountability friendships with people, relationships all over the place. This is something that's very intentional, very purposeful. It's very structured, well, mostly structured. And there's lots of examples in the Bible to talk about this and how we're supposed to be with each other in this way. And so I feel like this is something that we have to work on. It's not, because if you don't, then it falls away like it did with me. If you don't work on it, it's not going to happen. It's something you have to really put effort into. There are also different kinds of accountability as far as whether it's public or private. So the public example is the one I'm pretty sure all of us have maybe seen, but it's the one that's written out in Matthew 18, 15 to 17, and this is out of the New Living Translation. If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you've won that person back to the family, not just to you, to the family. But if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. If the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church as a whole. Then if he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. Yeah, I know. That's very harsh. It feels very harsh. But it seems to me that this is, oh, I know he hates that phrase. It sounds to me like this is the same as when Jesus talks about pruning the vines. If there is a person in the family who is not only unwilling to see what problems they're causing, but is also unwilling to make any changes for the body, that person needs to be cut off. And I know that sounds really harsh, I know, but it's not about someone that does something you don't like or something you don't agree with. This is really about sinning against another person. You've lied against that person. You've cheated in your marriage. You've, stolen money from the church. These are legitimate sin type things. But you also have to think about why you're going to that person. So let's say that I have a problem with Cindy, which of course would never happen. But let's say I have a problem with Cindy and I don't like something that she said and I want to prove that I'm right. And so I go to her and start talking about all the reasons I was right and she was wrong. My reasoning for going to her is just as sinful as whatever I think she did. You have to go toward it with about reconciling that relationship, reconciling that person to following Christ, that kind of thing. It cannot be about if you're proving yourself right. It just has to be about that reconciliation. The first time I ever heard of this, I was in college the first time, and I was going to Kent State University, and the church that a lot of us went to, that were in a Christian group I'll talk about in a second, we went to a Grace Baptist church, and it was American Baptist, but I think even the leadership was on the fence about whether or not to keep calling themselves American Baptist because they didn't really fit in with everybody else. But anyway, the pastor there talked about it, and his daughter was also in the group with me. And so I asked her about it, and it just seemed really harsh. Why would you want to, you know, send some out of the church? And she said, well, that's not the goal. The goal is for them to come back, for the relationship to be reconciled. And she gave me an example. She didn't use names, of course, but she gave me an example of a family where, I don't remember if it was the husband or wife, but one of them had cheated. And they followed this Matthew pattern. The one who was cheated on went to that person. They didn't accept it. They brought two or three more people. They didn't accept it. They brought it to the church, and they almost didn't accept it. But at that point, they realized, yeah, what I'm doing is not okay, and it's not good for my family, and it's not good for the church, and I need to recognize that and do something about it. And that family was closer to each other after that than they were before when the cheating had started. So I cannot stress enough that nobody wants the last step to happen. Nobody. We all want this, whoever this person is that sinned, to recognize that and be able to reconcile what they're doing and make better choices to live more like Christ. That's always the goal. Now, there's also accountability for personal growth and the furthering of the kingdom. Because when you grow personally, that's part of furthering the kingdom. As we move along those chairs we've talked about, when you're getting to discipleship and witnessing to others, obviously that's growing the kingdom. That's edifying the kingdom. It's making further steps toward more people being for Christ. So all of those things are intertwined. The stronger we are as individuals, the stronger we then are as a family, the church, the small C church, and then as strong as we are as the big C church. So I mentioned that Christian group that I was in Kent. It's called InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. And I remember very vividly being so on fire for Christ at that time. I did the most Bible study at that time, the most devotional time, the most worshiping and all of those things. And I realized at some point it was because of the accountability. Now, we all had accountability to each other as a whole group, but it wasn't something that we had specified. This was just the nature of having relationships in a church body. You want to help each other to grow and keep each other moving forward, etc. But in addition to that, we also did purposeful accountability partners. And mine was my best friend at school. Her name was Dawn. And she and I did all these things that I'm going to be talking about, as well as the group did a lot of them that was less purposeful, was just part of being in a relationship. So one of those steps would be, well, first let me read Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. Now, there's a lot of scripture references there. So if you just want to write them down and look at them later, study them later, I encourage that. Or if you want me to send you the PowerPoint or my notes or whatever, I'm completely willing to do that as well. So Hebrews 10, 24 to 25 in the ESV version. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet each other as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Day is in a capital letter. So this is what we do as a church on a regular basis, 100% love and 100% truth. If you do one without the other, then it's lopsided and you're not going to grow as much. If you're doing both of those things, then the growth will be phenomenal, if you're open to it. So the other thing we did with each other is we tried not to judge. There's a very, very big difference, in my head at least, between being judgmental and holding someone accountable. Both of those recognize that person needs to make some kind of change. But being judgmental is about the guilt and the shame and holding somebody down. And accountability is about helping them make better choices and grow. So clearly there's a difference. Both of them recognize the sin in somebody else, but they have very different purposes and paths. So we did not judge one another. Romans 14, 13 says, therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. Now, that stumbling block can be lots of things, but I think in this context, they're talking about this judgment. Because when you put this judgment and this guilt on someone and you know, look down on them and whatever it is that you do when you judge people, when we judge people, that's going to hold that person down and keep them from moving forward in Christ. And I certainly would not want to answer to Christ when I meet him if I did those kinds of things. I think he probably would not be very happy. So we want to make sure that we're doing the uplifting, the encouraging, stirring each other. And another version I looked at says, it's basically like fanning the flames of that person. Help them to be encouraged, build them up, raise them. So we did that with each other often. Rather than asking, what faults can I find in my neighbor's lives, we should ask, how will my actions affect them? So each week, we had a choice to extend grace or judgment, and we made that choice every time. Every time we met, not just each week. We could display love and grace that God had already extended through the judgment of Jesus on the cross. Really, he's the only one that is permitted to judge anyone. I think we all know that. So I try to stay away from that as much as I can. Another scripture reference is Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And this is about the whole church body. So we're all connected in some way. We're all connected through Christ's sacrifice. We're all connected through our love for him. And we want to encourage that to grow as well. We each had an opportunity to be honest with other people and with ourselves, which may not have been accomplished if we had not established that habit to begin with. And I couldn't tell you who the first person was. I think it was just something we did in InterVarsity, so it probably started way before any of us got there. We just made sure to be honest with each other and to try to be open to that honesty if someone was coming to us with something. We made a commitment to do that, and that happened especially when we're talking about the accountability partners, which of course I'll get to. Colossians 3:12-4, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts against one another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so that you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So again, 100% truth, 100% love. When we do those things, we make our relationships stronger, we make our own growth stronger. So there were times that we did have to extend forgiveness. None of us are perfect, we all make mistakes. I don't think that anybody intends to be, well, I can't say that. Hopefully, nobody in the church intends to be mean. But if that person does say something that hurts our feelings and we go to them and let them know, then A, the relationship is reconciled, and B, they probably won't do it again. And so then you can feel comfortable, more comfortable around that person, not worried about what they're going to say. Also, one person might be going through a season of struggling with some kind of temptation that they'd already thought they'd conquered, and they're facing that temptation again, and it's going to be easier to face that temptation and overcome it if you have people with you that are helping you with that. Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And we did bear each other's burdens in prayer. I remember we had a prayer group that met, I think, every Thursday morning in the student center. And we would go in there, people would talk about things that were going on, just like any other group where you share prayer requests. And we would spend a long time in prayer, like a good hour, sometimes two, praying about all these different things and things that we knew needed prayer for people that weren't there, et cetera. And that prayer just made all the difference. It didn't always change the situation, we know that, but it changed how the person dealt with or felt about or acted in that situation because we were moving towards being better Christians. And then the book that we're going through right now in the adult Bible study is about lamenting. And so that's part of that. We're lamenting with each other. You know, when somebody loses someone close to them in death, we get together and have a funeral or a life celebration or whatever you're going to call it at different times. Part of that is to lament with each other, to be in that place together, and be able to then share the fun memories we have of that person, and how much we miss them or going to miss them. So lamenting is also very much a part of it. The one example that I kept coming across was the one between Nathan and David. Now, I feel like this is a little bit different because Nathan and David were not necessarily in a purposeful partnership of accountability, but Nathan very clearly, this is after David did the whole thing with the baby and Bathsheba and all that, Nathan very clearly got a message from God, I want you to go to David and say this. And so he went to David and he gave this example, I forget the exact example, but it was something where David was incensed. He's like, nobody could do something like that, it's terrible, that person needs to be punished. And then Nathan said, well, that person was you. Oh, yeah, I know. And so David, of course, I'm sure he probably had to bow his head in a little bit of shame, like, whoops, somebody saw what I did. But then he started turning things around and being more of the King David that I think God wanted him to be. But like I said, that one's more of a God tells me what I need to do, and so then I'm going to go to this person. I don't know that that happens nearly as often as when you have this purposeful relationship with someone. So when I talked about this at camp, when I was a counselor back in the day, we talked about having an accountability buddy. So you have a, yes, I know, I love that word. I know. So you have to have this accountability buddy, and this is specifically somebody that you have set up to be your partner in this. So this is not just, you know, random church relationships or random family relationships or what have you. This is the purposeful one that I wanted to focus on today. I know I keep saying purposeful, but I can't think of another way to describe it. It's just very planned, and you make the commitment to each other to do this. So one of the verses that comes up a lot with this is Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Now, I like to look at the Amplified Bible translation when I look at things, because I don't know how much you guys know about translating languages, but there are often words that we may have that another language doesn't have, and so we have to find another way to say it, or vice versa. And so the Amplified often gives some of those other ways. I feel like it gives another level of what the verse is trying to say. So in the Amplified, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens and influences another through discussion. So those are the two parts that are added, not added, but part of the feeling of the verse. So you're helping to influence each other in this relationship and talk about what those things are. What choices can you make that are better? What choices can I make that are better to move me forward in getting closer to Christ? James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Healed. I think all of us would love to feel healed in certain areas, especially if you were hurt or if you did the hurting. This is where we share these things with each other, and through lamenting together and encouraging each other and discussion and Bible reading, of course, and praying, you are able to be healed in that area, so it's not something that drags you down anymore. That's the goal. Hebrews 10:24-25, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, that's what I read before, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So I guess reading from this, that there were some people who were receiving this letter that were not meeting as regularly for church services or whatever it was that they were meeting for. And so we're being encouraged to continue doing that meeting. And that's part of the accountability partner as well. So what's involved in an accountability partnership? As I'd mentioned before, there are many kinds and levels. This is specifically about the one that really sharpens you as far as being sharper in God's word and being a Christ follower, however you want to describe it. The first one, which I had trouble with for a long time, is that it must be the same sex. Not husband and wife, not boyfriend and girlfriend. It has to be. Now, I'm not saying that those can't have accountability, because they 100% do. I'm just speaking about this particular kind of accountability partner. It needs to be the same sex. And the reason that I have always accepted as the discussion, whatever, there are certain things that I, as a female, am not willing to talk to a man about. And I'm sure that vice versa is also true. So with this accountability partnership, you have to be completely open to that person. And you can't do that if there are things you won't discuss with them. So it really does need to be the same sex. Both people have to actually sit down and agree. You can't just say, oh, I've decided Katie's my partner. I'm not going to talk to her about it. We're just going to start meeting and she won't know what it's about. No. You have to agree that this is the kind of relationship that you want to start. You have to say to the other person that you both agree you're going to show 100% love, 100% truth. This means that you have to be open to critique, committed to honesty, and ready to say or hear the hard things. And that is really hard to do. I remember doing that with Dawn back in school, and she's much better at pointing out things than I am. So there were times where she would point out something to me that I needed to work on. Oh, you know, the way you said that wasn't really nice. You probably could have said it a different way. And then I need to take that And what I tried to do was take whatever she said without getting defensive, just ingest it and let it sit for a while, because I also know that she's not perfect, right? So you have to pray about it. You can discuss it more with that person, because sometimes maybe that person is putting something on you that you didn't do, and you have to be ready to say that as well. But 9 times out of 10, that's not the case. Most of the time, this person, as you've agreed to be in this relationship with them, is also committed to telling you the truth and not just making things up, or I want them to do this, so I'm going to tell them that they should do blah, 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 you know. You have to agree to meet regularly, either in person or some other means. I believe Dawn and I did it every week, like a Tuesday maybe, at one of the cafes in town. And that's really important. I think it's better when you can do it face-to-face, because you can read more body language and facial expressions than you can over the phone. But I also recognize that sometimes that's not possible. So I would say try to meet, physically meet with each other, and when you can't, use one of the other options. Another big one is everything has to be kept confidential. Even if that person is married, they have to agree, I'm not gonna tell my spouse anything that we talk about in this group. The one exception is if somebody might get hurt. Either the person you're talking to or someone in their life, then you really should say something, because obviously you don't want someone to get hurt. But barring that, it should be 100% confidential. You have to be able to trust that that person's gonna keep your confidence, and that person has to be able to trust you in order for you to feel open. Now, if you say to them, you know, I'm telling you this thing, I don't really care if other people find out, then that's fine, that's between you guys. But unless you're saying something, everything should be confidential. And of course, the biggest one is keep God's word as the standard for all things in life. I can't say, well, you know, I know that the Bible says that we're supposed to do this, but really, this is more comfortable, so I think this is okay if you do this. No. In this partnership, Christ has to be the center. The word has to be the center. That's the standard you're judging everything by. We should all be doing that. I'm just saying that in this particular partnership, this, if it's not that, it's not gonna work, and you're not gonna grow the way you could. There is a caveat to all of this, of course, because when I was reading through the resources, they were talking about things that had happened to other groups, because you can do it as a group as well. That's one of the other ways. This is the partnership. Please, please, please do not let this devolve into a venting, complaining, commiserating only situation. Everybody needs a place to vent, and they need the commiseration, helping, you know, lamenting with someone. That's not the problem. Those things can happen. It just can't be the last step. It can't be the only thing that happens in the group or the partnership, because then you're just cutting off your nose to spite your face. You're not gonna grow. In fact, you'll probably regress in your walk if you will allow it to become something like that. It's okay to be upset, you just can't stay in that place. We had talked about growth before, that staying in that place is like weeds that choke off the growth that you could have. If you stay angry at someone, if you stay hurt in a situation, if you stay whatever it is, complaining, the venting, all of that, the longer you stay in that, the more choking happens. Now, I know that there are things that you're not gonna be okay with it overnight. I'm not saying that you have to be okay with it overnight. I'm just saying don't stay there forever. Not only is that not healthy for your Christian walk, it's not healthy for you as a person, physically or mentally. So I very much encourage you to, sure, let it out, and then figure out how you're going to reconcile that or move on from that person. So I also personally, and this is just because I like stationery, but I would encourage people to keep a journal of what you talk about in your partnership meeting times and in between. So if somebody says something to me that I did whatever it was and I needed to change that choice, whatever, I can write in my journal how I feel about that conviction. I can write how other things that I could have done. I can write if I feel like I've gotten over this at some point. I can also write about what that person needs prayer about, just any kinds of things. You can keep that information. And the purpose of the keeping is so you can see how far you've grown. It's still gonna work whether you journal or not. I just like journaling. It helps me to see that change. When I have a prayer journal, which I don't write now, but I have, you can see, you can go back and see what prayers have been answered and how they've been answered. Well, either yes, no, or wait. I always hate the wait, but it's there. And you can see where God has moved in whatever situation. So I definitely always encourage people to do that. I am encouraging all of us, myself included, to really start praying about having an accountability partner. It's not easy because you have to set aside that time. It's not easy because you're going to be faced with things that you don't want to be faced with. But the growth potential and the feeling of being more in line with what Christ wants you to do is worth all of that. It's worth all of that. The growth that I showed in InterVarsity while I was in this accountability group and also with Don, that's probably the biggest in my life. Now, over the years, I've had other people where it was not a specified partnership, and I still grew, because you're going to grow with any relationship that you're in, hopefully. But it's just different. It's just different when it's this partner, somebody who's really watching out for you. You're watching out for them. You want the best for them. They want the best for you. It's just a different kind of growth. It just felt more a real pine tree Christmas tree versus a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. You know what I mean? Just so much better. Anyway, so I'd like to pray for us that we can do that. Grow more in Christ. Father, again, I thank you for all these beautiful people, both here and watching elsewhere. I just ask that you would really open our minds and our hearts to biblical accountability, and that you would help us to find that person that could be our accountability partner. I recognize we need to pray about it. I recognize we need to think about it. I recognize we need to read and study about it. But I just ask that you would help us to move through those things and show us those people in our lives that could be that for us. I thank you for everything that you've done for us, including providing your word and these kinds of guidances, and just ask that you would help us to think about it throughout the week. In your precious name, amen.